reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the Sunday, O God. Thank you for just the excitement that the Christmas season brings, O God. And even as we have remembered your first coming during this Christmas season, O God, help us to be waiting expectantly, waiting excitedly for your second return as well, O God. As we look towards the new year as well, O God, help us to see this passage come to fruition more and more each day, O God, that your increase will never stop from this time on to forever, O God. I want to pray for our child mind, O God. I want to pray for the kids that are entrusted to our care, O God. May you bless the teachers, bless the leaders, that they can bring your message to these little ones as well, as we also hear from your servant Fritz. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, I don't have the remote, so maybe somebody can switch. Okay. Thanks, Calvin. Well, good morning, Burnaby Pacific Grace. I trust that you all had an enjoyable Christmas. And I'm sure many of you have gained a few pounds along the way, you know, attending all these family dinners, you know, Christmas dinners and so forth. You know, Tracy and her uncle collaborated to cook up this fabulous dinner on Christmas Day. And this menu, get this, believe it or not, this is the menu. So for appetizers, mushroom and capicola meat, a 15-pound roast turkey with gravy, stuffing, baked yams, roasted veggies, garlic, oxtail, stew, prime rib, and for dessert, mango pudding and cookies. So just to prove to you that that actually did happen. Yeah, you know, I think I gained 15 pounds just looking at all that food. You know, Jax, my son Jax, he didn't eat a whole lot, but when it came to dessert, oh man, he loves mango pudding. I swear, he gobbled his dessert in like 2 seconds flat. So right now, it's his favorite dessert, and I'm sure it was the only thing that he had really hoped to eat that day. But you know, for a two-year-old, you have pretty simple wants, right? Wants and wishes, and Jax is no different. Whenever we'd go to Metrotown, he would almost always want to visit the Disney store. And he would always go to the toy section, and he always singles out the Toy Story characters, because he's all about Toy Story right now, 1, 2, and 3. And so before Christmas, we asked him, Jax, which toy do you like better? Do you like Sheriff Woody, or do you like Buzz Lightyear? And so he said, Sheriff Woody. And so that's what we got him for Christmas. And I'm almost certain that that was the thing he hoped for and wanted the most for Christmas. You know, as we grow up, the things we hope for change, don't they? When you start going to elementary school, you hope to make new friends. As you move into your high school and college years, you just hope to pass your exams and graduate. And as an adult, maybe you hope for a fulfilling career and a secure job. Hopefully make lots of money. And then you go and find your marriage partner and maybe have 2.5 kids. Maybe you hope to stay healthy by exercising and eating right. Right? Maybe a lot of you are making those New Year's resolutions right now. And hopefully the word cancer is not mentioned in your yearly physical checkup. There are a lot of things we hope for. And maybe amongst those personal goals you have and that you hope for, there's also these goals, like hoping for the economy to stay good, hoping your political party stays in power, hoping that, you know, all the countries in the world can just get along, right? And just have world peace. And maybe you hope your favorite hockey team, Canucks, wins the Stanley Cup in your lifetime. And some of you hope maybe you can find the meaning of life and maybe make sense of why we're in this universe. And some of you are probably hoping that you could just make it through this sermon because your stomach is grumbling and you're itching to have that dim sum Sunday lunch, right? You know, yes, we are creatures of hope, creatures that desire, aspire, wait expectantly, that wish for things to happen. But when they don't happen, when things don't go the way that we want, we many times lose hope. And if we encounter one hopeless situation after another, and another, and then another, and another, we end up in this pit of depression, this hole that we can't dig ourselves out of, a hole that we think nobody else can get us out of. You know, brothers and sisters, this is the same hopeless situation that the nation of Israel was experiencing around about 740, 690 BC. This was the period of time where the prophet Isaiah responded to God's call. Both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah had a string of bad rulers, more so with the northern kingdom. There are kings who sinned and disobeyed God. The northern kingdom, Israel, would in less than 20 years fall to Assyria, and the southern kingdom faced an important test. Would Judah learn from Israel's tragic example, or would they follow Israel's evil footsteps? Judah needed to be encouraged. And during this time of war and political strife, Isaiah was the man called upon to do so, to encourage this nation. He was sent by God to basically give them hope, to pull them out of this pit. This hope was the fact that God would protect them from anything and anyone if only they stood strong in their faith. A Messiah would come and save them. You know, throughout this book, Isaiah, one of the predominant themes is this Messiah theme. God's anointed one who would come to redeem his people and rescue them from destruction. And it is for this reason the New Testament Gospels frequently refer back to the Old Testament, specifically the book of Isaiah. Matthew, for example, quotes Isaiah at least 9 times. Matthew's many references to Isaiah were basically used to prove his point that Jesus was the fulfillment of messianic prophecy foretold by that prophet. Matthew viewed the messianic passages of the book of Isaiah as very literal in nature. And likewise, the other Gospels, Mark cites Isaiah 6 times, Luke 5 times, John 5 times. So it's a very important Old Testament book. A couple of chapters into this book of Isaiah, before our scripture reading today, there's a chapter in chapter 7, verse 14, and it says this about the Messiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. This ties in directly with the birth account of Christ in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. And I'll read this. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her from the Holy Spirit, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, meaning Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. What a wonderful promise, God with us. But Isaiah, he doesn't stop there. Because further on in the book, in our passage today, he further describes the future of this messianic era. For today, we have time to zero in directly to the titles of this Messiah. For behind these names lie a message of hope. I'll just read for you this verse in Isaiah 9, 6. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These names are attached to someone who is more than just human. He is someone that could only be God himself. And I want us to get to know these precious names of God and see what kind of hope each one brings. So let's examine all four, shall we? Let us look to this name, Mighty God, and the healing and help he brings. You know, when the outlook looks grim in life, you can rely on Christ for your strength. When the circumstances seem volatile, Christ is your stability. And when the future appears dark and uncertain, Christ remains your hope. The strength of Christ is both inexhaustible and immeasurable, and is yours to receive. You know, during service, we sing of so many songs that say how great and mighty our God is. For example, how great is our God, or mighty to save. Do you really believe the words of those songs? Do you believe he is mighty and all-powerful? When Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, healing was a very important part of his ministry. He performed miracles. He made the lame to walk, the blind to see, and even resurrect the dead. All this so that we would know he was God. Jesus had power over nature, power over all of creation, over sickness and disease. You know, as I was preparing this message the last few days, I got a text from a friend of mine, and he was actually vacationing in Florida, and he had said, hey, do you know our friends in the hospital? I said, what? He texted back. And so apparently a mutual friend of ours suffered a heart attack, and that came as a complete shock. Heart attack. And this guy, this friend of mine back from high school, he's about, you know, early 40s, but he didn't live the best lifestyle, didn't eat healthy and so forth. So when I found out about this, I said, what? And so I quickly made some phone calls, and I found out he was in Vancouver General, and he was in an induced coma. So that his body, his system could repair itself. So his parents told me that he'd just gotten off work, walked into his car, and then he collapsed. Or he asked people for help, and then he suddenly collapsed. And Doctors said that basically they have to put him in this induced coma because his systems were failing. You know, this sickness, basically it was three or four blockages in his heart. And so when I heard all this news, I was shocked. And I was in the middle of preparing the sermon, and I was like, God, I know you are the healer, the great and mighty physician. And you know, I was just praying to him that he would take care of my friend. And you know, the latest update on this friend of mine, they just hope to bring him out of this induced coma. And then they can go from there. They don't know if he has brain damage from collapsing or, but this is certain they'll need to give him like maybe triple, quadruple bypass in the next day or so. So I just, you know, appreciate your prayers if you can say a prayer for him. But you know, Jesus came to heal the sick and the diseases of this world. And even though he's gone back to the Father, he leaves with us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one in our lives that we can rest upon, that heals us, that we say prayers to our God and see the work of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. So I hope and pray that he would heal my friend that's in the hospital right now. You know, the words of the psalmist King David said this, he uttered this: "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." And the Apostle Paul writes these words of comfort: "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Jesus gives us hope of overcoming obstacles in our lives, as long as we call upon him and have faith in him. He is Almighty God, and nothing is too difficult for him. He brings us healing and help. As we move on to our next name, we see Wonderful Counselor. And with this Wonderful Counselor, we see open communication. How many times have you ever experienced the need for someone to talk to? Don't we all try to go to our best friend during these times, whether good or bad? You know, you want to share this news with them and perhaps even take advice from your BFF. And hopefully you get the right advice from them. I know many of you are at points in your lives where you're seeking counsel from someone. If it's in high school, maybe you've sought a guidance counselor for your career. If you're considering marriage, maybe you've sought marriage counselors to prepare yourselves for this lifelong commitment. And some of you have probably consulted financial planners in hopes of investing your money wisely. All of us, I'm sure, trying to get spiritual advice from our pastors, from our, you know, other church ministry leaders. But getting advice from these people is well and good, but there are limitations to these counselors. They're only human, right? We can't access them 24/7, 365 days a year, right? That'd be a little bit rude, right? Calling Pastor Paul at 2 a.m. But you know what? That's not the case with Jesus. Once you ask him into your life as Savior and Lord, the communication lines become open between you and the Father. You can pray to God any time of the day. In fact, I encourage you to keep constant conversation with him, just like the relationship that you have with your best friend. And when you ask God for advice, be assured he gives you the best advice you could possibly get. Why? Because he loves you. He cares for each and every one of you. Just like the shepherd cares for his sheep. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And one of my favorite verses in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In Christ, we have this hope of access to God the Father, because we become his children. And if we fully trust in this wonderful counselor, he will guide us in the right direction. Do you believe that? God will not steer you wrong. Our third name is the Prince of Peace. And peace is brought by him. Scripture records stories of faithful believers who were able to maintain their hope in the midst of painful circumstances. And the Apostle Paul is a perfect example of this. He experienced persecution, beatings, unfair trials, imprisonment, and sickness, among other frustrations. But how did Paul rise above adversity? He lived through horrendous circumstances. He was rejected by his Jewish peers. He was stoned, abandoned for dead, ridiculed, ignored, often beaten and imprisoned for his devotion to Christ. But Paul continued to maintain a confident hope right up until the very end. How did he manage this? How did Paul have peace in his heart? The answer can be found in one of the apostles' letters to the Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Let me say that again. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, a number of years ago, there was some research performed, and basically there was this experiment to see the effect of hope, the effect of hope having on those undergoing hardship. So in the laboratory, they set up two experiments. Basically, two laboratory rats were placed in tubs of water. The researchers left one set in the water and found that within an hour, they had all drowned. And the other rats that were periodically lifted out of the water in this other tub, this is what happened to them. They were basically taken out and then put back in the water. And the people would return to them and do that repeatedly. When that happened, the second set of rats swam for over 24 hours. Why? You know, it's not because they were given a rest, but because they suddenly had hope. Those poor animals somehow hoped that if they could stay afloat just a little longer, someone would reach down and rescue them. If hope holds such power for just these little animals, these unthinkable rodents, how much greater should its effect be on our lives? Having hope encourages us to keep living, to stand firm, and endure hardships. Jesus brings us hope by bringing us peace in our lives. And upon asking him to enter our hearts, the Spirit of God dwells within us and brings us this internal peace. But you know, when Christ returns in glory, he will also bring external peace to this troubled and sinful world. We sort of sang a little bit about that in the days of Elijah. He will do what it says in Isaiah 9, verse 7. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. And from that time on and forever, the seal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You know, all of man's forms of government fall short of providing perfect peace. Dictatorships, communism, and even democracy. The Bible says Jesus will establish a theocratic rule of heaven and earth, one of everlasting peace. We need peace in our lives, both internally and externally. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is the only one that can truly give that. Lastly, we find our everlasting Father giving us eternal security. Jesus brings a hope of a right relationship with God the Father. This is a relationship that lasts forever, where we will have eternal fellowship with him. In other words, we'll be in the presence of God for all eternity. Isn't that an amazing hope? The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Jesus' resurrection assures our resurrection. There would still be the sting of death if he had remained in the grave. But he was the first fruits of resurrection. He paved the way for us. You know, of course, we grieve when someone we love dies. But we as Christians grieve differently from the way the world does. We do not grieve as those who have no hope, because we can look forward to a wonderful reunion someday with them and with the one who died and lives for us. You see, if Jesus had remained dead, we would have nothing. No hope, no faith, no security, no comfort. But the truth is, we have a living Savior who transcended the laws of death and smashed them forever. He brings us eternal security. Now, you'll notice that I didn't go through the names of God in the order that they appeared in the Bible. And this was for a reason. If I did it, that would spell OHEP. That sounds like more like oh help, right? That's not what I wanted to do. So rather than giving you a hopeless mnemonic, I wanted to give you a hopeful mnemonic. I want to conclude our time by showing you a short video clip about hope. It's a scene taken from the movie The Life of Pi, so probably few of you have seen this. This movie is about an East Indian man named Pasin Malitor Patel and his amazing journey of being stranded in a lifeboat with an adult Bengalese tiger. And this Bengalese tiger, his name is Richard Parker. If you want to know why, just watch the movie. The special effects in this movie are utterly jaw-dropping. But don't go see this movie because of the CG, right? See it for the story. Now, don't expect to see a Christian movie. It's very Hollywood. It does, however, have Christian themes, and it is a great story that is told. So I'm going to ask the AV guys to play that clip for us.
Domna Chutpaka.
That's a pretty dramatic scene, isn't it? The movie continues on with Pi and Richard Parker surviving this storm. The waves subside and the clouds open up, and in the distance you see a rainbow, a biblical reminder of God's promises. And here's a poignant quote by Pi in the movie. He had just finished surviving this strange carnivorous island. Pi says, it's pretty much this. Even when God seemed to have abandoned me, he was watching. Even when he seemed indifferent to my suffering, he was watching. And when I was beyond all hope of saving, he gave me rest. Then gave me a sign to continue my journey. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So don't give up. Have faith. His light will certainly shine through, and his truth will be unmistakable. For Jesus has brought us this amazing hope to this world and all of creation. Amen? Amen. I'll ask the worship team to call upon the worship team to lead us in our last song, and I'll close us in prayer. Father, thank you for bringing us hope through your Son, Jesus. And thank you for shedding light on the names Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. And Father, it is our desire as your body to in this new year grow our faith. Grow faith within us. And Lord, just we need your help in that. Thank you for the hope that you give in overcoming obstacles, Father. And thank you again for just this time we have together as family on Sunday. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.